You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill, and once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth. We are a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the powerful homosexual, bisexual, transgender movement. And this is our first major interview with somebody dealing with the T in the GLBT, which is transgender. We're talking to Walt Heyer, who actually went through this so-called gender or sex reassignment surgery, which is the politically correct way to talk about, you know, actually changing your sexual organs to match what you believe to be should have been your sex. Walt, are you on the phone?
I'm on. Yeah, good. Nice to talk with you, Peter.
Yeah, Walt, it's really a privilege to get your story out there. I wish millions and millions of Americans would have the chance to hear your story. Walt, you became Laura in this is what you thought you became. In 1983, you actually went through this incredibly radical surgery. Now, you did that out in Colorado?
I did it in Trinidad, Colorado, Dr. Stanley Biber.
And Trinidad is now known for this.
It was, and then recently the Marcy Bowers, who is actually Mark Bowers, the surgeon now is somewhat transgender themselves, is taken because Biber passed away. Mark Bowers became Marcy Bowers and is now doing the surgery just south of San Francisco near San Mateo.
Wow. Now, we went over a lot of your story, folks, and you can hear the first segment on the Americans for Truth website. That's AmericansForTruth.com. Just click the Truth Hour, American for Truth Radio button on the right, and the interview is there. And so we don't want to be redundant here, but give us basically the two-minute summary. You were abused as a child. Physically abused by your father with these awful beatings. Your grandmother, as we talked about last week, sort of got this whole thing going about, she obviously wanted a granddaughter, and so she dressed you up like a little girl. Then your uncle started sexually molesting you. Let me ask you this. Tell us how you got from there to leaving Laura in 1990, Walt, is your story typical? This much dysfunction in the lives of typical so-called transgender people?
Yeah, I do believe there is. I think what my experience is, and from the people I've talked to, from the people who write into my website, I find that the dysfunction is there. It's never identically the same, but there's usually alcoholism, drug addiction, mental health issues in the household, or abandonment, or separation. There's always something that stirs these issues and brings them about. So, yes, the dysfunction's there. And like with me, I went through this with my grandmother, my father, and my mother, and then all of a sudden, I'm thinking I should be a girl.
Yeah, and essentially you came out of the transgender lifestyle in 1990, but not with all your body parts.
Right. You know, the surgery is so radical that you can't restore what was taken away. I mean, it will destroy you, and in terms of physically destroying you, and if you're strong enough and have enough desire, you can return to your birth gender, but you're going to be missing some pieces. But, you know, that's okay. I think what's important is to have your mental sanity.
Yeah.
And obviously, when I chose to do the surgery, I didn't have good, sound mental sanity,
right,
or I wouldn't have done it in the first
place. Exactly. And has it been hard to adjust living? I'm trying to ask questions that I think the average guy would ask, Walt. So right. Pardon me if I sometimes step over the line, but I mean, yeah. Is it hard to live without your sex organ? It must be a bizarre thing. How many people can live lived a life through what you've done?
Yeah, you know, there's a point at which you just have to accept, and I'm sure it's probably, Peter, not too much different from somebody who's lost a leg or an arm or, you know, I think we just learn to accept the fact that, man, I've really made a big mistake. I think what really helps, Peter, and this is what the audience needs to hear, is that when you finally realize that they lied to you, and that it is categorically impossible to change your gender, and all they end up doing is mutilating your body. There really isn't a gender change. And that's why my book calls it Paper Genders. It's only on paper.
Well, you have the grace of God to help you deal with the anger. What about somebody, I imagine there's a lot of, for the person who thought he was going to be, he or she was going to be, have all their problems solved by this radical surgery, these mutilations of their sexual organs, to not feel the sense of relief, there must be a lot of anger.
Well, there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of alcoholism. There's a lot of drug addiction. And as I point out in the book, suicide in this population, in the transgender population post-surgery and pre-surgery, that the average that they come up with is around 41% of the people will attempt suicide. Now, that kind of explains to you that this population is not happy with the transition from one gender to the other, whether it's surgical or not. So they're troubled people. I think that's the first thing we need to understand. And my heart goes out to them. I don't hold scorn for them. I hold scorn for the people who are supposed to be helping them overcome these things. But one of the issues is this is probably one of the only psychological problems that people have where you go to the doctor or the psychologist and do your own diagnosis and tell them, and not only do you do your own diagnosis, you instruct them to do a surgical procedure, which is just nonsense.
It's something else. And let me read from a page of your paper Genders to show the consistency of these stories. And I was going to say, Walt, and I want you to talk about this.
Sure.
In the media, you're always going to hear from the transgender man, or which is basically or the transgender female, the guy who becomes a female. You're going to hear the propaganda. You're going to hear the successful, the ones where they think they're successful and they're happy. You're not going to hear about these suicides. You're not going to hear about these people who remain caught in distress and despite having their body mutilated by these doctors. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the media is going to focus give the idea that the only way to solve these people's problems is to do this radical surgery.
That's exactly right. And, I'm so glad you brought this up. This is a great point. I have been in email contact just in the last few days, even this morning, with Dr. Mark Bowers, who goes by Marcy Bowers, and I was in attempting to try to get him to explain about the regret issues. And the email that I got this morning that shows you why the media doesn't get the message, because here's a person who does the surgery, makes $1,200,000 a year, cutting little Snoopies off and ruining people's lives in many cases. And it's because she wrote back and said she'd never heard about regret, doesn't know of any regret, and thinks that I vehemently disagrees with me about the regret. Well, I understand that she's not going to put that in an email that I can put on my website and say that, about the regret, that the surgeon understands it. But I think what happens, and I've been trying to get even her to talk about the fact she knows there's regret. She just won't admit it. There's so much denial by the surgical community around regret. That one that's posted on Sex Change Regret is her patient. That's a physician that Dr. Mark Marcy Bowers did the surgery on and wrote on my website about the regret.
And I want to read that.
Surgery.
I would like to read that letter. Let's get your websites out, Walt. You've written the book Paper Genders, Pulling the Mask Off the Transgender Phenomenon. That is available at sexchangeinfo.com. Your autobiography is called Trading My Sorrows. Explain Trading My Sorrows, the significance of that.
Yeah, Trading My Sorrows is really talks about the whole journey through the childhood, all the struggles, all the issue, my alcoholism, everything that went around it. But it also talks about how I came to find Jesus Christ and how a church, one outstanding pastor, and a group of elders in the church who surrounded me and allowed me to struggle, didn't demand that I change immediately, but allowed the Lord to work in my life until such time as I could walk through this and come out the other side. So that's what Trading My Sorrows is, a great book to show the journey from brokenness to wholeness in Christ.
That sounds like a radical Christian love right there. They're going to love you right through this change, and how wonderful that God directed you to that church.
Oh, that was, such a blessing. And unfortunately, there's churches out there that aren't as good as this particular little Foster City church was, with the pastor, Jeff Farrar, at the time, and his fabulous elder staff that walked me through it. And they're the exception, no doubt about it. And then we have sexchangeregret.com, which has on the site letters, like I just explained. We publish letters that people send to me so that people don't just think I'm making this stuff up, because I'm not. These are letters that come from people that have had the surgery, like myself, and we're joining together trying to get the message out about the surgery not being a fix for anything, that there is psychological issues you need to deal with, and surgery does not fix them.
Well, we're talking to Walt Heyer, who is a former transsexual, next transsexual saved by Christ. We'll be right back in a minute. Well, welcome back, everybody. We're talking to Walt Heyer, who's a former transsexual. He actually had a sex change operation. And, you know, this is what we do at Americans for Truth. We give you stories that the media is not going to report. And, Walt, you probably weren't aware of this, but there's a writer in Chicago. I think his name is Mark Brown. He's a columnist. And he had a friend who I think went through a sex change operation, and he used this friend's experience to write a column or two, or maybe more, basically advocating, this transgender agenda. And
right.
I think this is the classic means by which the whole homosexual, bisexual, transgender movement has progressed in our society. Somebody knows somebody who went through this. Same thing with the homosexual. Let's face it; it's pretty much the same deal. These are lifestyles that are alien to the average Joe or Jane,
right.
And they don't know how to deal with it. And so they, in a sort of a morally relativistic age, in which there's less and less respect for biblical truth and absolute standards, people sort of say, "Well, you know, I can't relate to this. Maybe this guy was born gay. Maybe this guy was born into the wrong gender, and I should just let him or her do what makes them happy."
Right.
And people sort of throw up the white flag. I think they turn their brain off, to tell you the truth, Walt.
Yeah.
But I mean, this must apply in spades to the transsexual issue, where people are like, I can't relate to what that person went through, so I'm going to let him define reality for me.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, and unfortunately, what you end up with, Peter, is, and I'm sure you've heard the term before, you end up with a whole society full of codependent, enabling people who just allow people to go through this process. We're not helping anybody by cutting body parts off. It's far more destructive to lie to somebody and then, delusionally suggest that they can change their gender. So we have people living a gender that they really aren't, acting out a gender that they really can't be, and then at some point in time we see that 41% will attempt suicide, or some of them will actually go back to their birth gender if they have the courage and conviction to do so.
And how rare is your situation trying to go back, Walt?
Well, I understand that the people who contact me are people who have regret and want to go back, so they contact me and say, how did you do it? I need to find out what that process is. So I do get predominantly the people who want to go back. So most of the letters I get are people who regret it. So if you just looked at my inbox, you would say that it's really prevalent. But I'm sure that the people who feel that they're doing what they need to do and staying where they are won't contact me. So I think it's far more prevalent than people really believe. And the other thing, Peter, that's so important for people to understand is that the regret factor, like with me, you know, there was a period of time when I enjoyed acting out this other gender, when I enjoyed and thought it was fun.
Are you talking before the operation or after, or both?
After the operation.
Okay.
You know, there was a period of time where I got to admit it, I enjoyed living out this gender role as a female. And
I mean, did you enjoy, like, the fact that people actually thought?
Yeah.
That you, in other words, was there a joy in passing as the opposite sex?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's sort of the ultimate is being able to pass.
And yeah, so, what's up with that? What is that? Why is that such a fixation? I know that for a fact because I remember I sort of told one transgender guy, gosh, it must have been 10 years ago. I told this guy, hey, you look kind of in your gaudy dress. I told him you didn't look attractive at all as a female because he wasn't a female. And
right.
I think he went out and changed his whole wardrobe. I mean, what drives a person to want to pass as the opposite sex? Is it because they feel that that's who they are and so they really need to show people that's who they are?
No, you know, and I can only guess into the psyche of it, but I do think that people want to hide. I think ultimately, like with me, there was a lot of abuse, and you want to hide so that you don't feel the pain of the past. So I think it has to do with hiding. And if you can truly pass, then you've reached a point, the highest level of being able to hide in another gender. So, and if you can't, then you feel like you're not hidden, you know. So there's this element of being able to hide who you are or who you were in a gender and get away with it, and you can walk away smiling and go, man, you know, they didn't know. But there's a point in reality that came for me, and it obviously doesn't come for everybody, but there's a point where reality sets in and you go, you know, this is just, you know, I've reached the pinnacle, now where do you go?
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that I'm a fake. That was the word that came up for me. I'm a fake as a female because I am not a female. I'm a man without the body parts. And
wow.
So when that realization sets in, and once you articulate it to yourself, you can't do it anymore. You
wow.
know, it's lost.
But did that come for you spiritually? Did that come just as it wore on? How did you get to the point where you said to yourself, I'm a fake?
Yeah, it came to me in studying psychology and then just looking at my life. And for me, it came first in that realization. And then I sought the Lord to help me come through it. So it was realizing that I was a fake first and then taking that fake person who was broken to Christ and saying, you know, I need to go back to reality and help me walk back, Lord, to reality. And that was the point at which I began to, it was a struggle. You know, it didn't pop in one day, and I want people to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a battle, and you got to walk back through the part about admitting that you made such a horrible mistake and admitting that you were so stupid. I remember an old lady sitting across from me one time, and she said, Walt, if you're so smart, why'd you do something so stupid? You know, I sat there and I was laughing my head off. I said, you know, I don't have an answer for that.
Well, I was sort of thinking the same thing, not quite that well stated, that in that you actually, your professional experience, didn't you help people with emotional and psychological problems?
Well, after I went through the change and came back to being Walt, I did study psychology, and for the last 20 years, I've been working, you know, helping people doing counseling and
okay,
now,
so that was after.
That was after. Before, I was associate design engineer and a national operations manager for a large multi-million-dollar corporation. So I had a great career anyway. But
yeah, now here's a question, Walt, that I think is important, given the world we live in. On the back of Paper Genders, which, again, is available at sexchangeregret.com, you got to get this book, guys. You got to support Walt Heyer. And he's trying, you know, he's on a mission to help other people avoid the mistakes that he made. But you said, Walt, Walt Heyer became fascinated with people who changed genders in 1980 while working in San Francisco. Now, here's what I think is important, especially for young people. And I want you to spend the next 3.5 minutes talking about young people in relation to all this. When you have this dysfunction, when you have this, let's face it, it's perversion. It's immoral. It's weird. It really lives up to the moniker queer, which the homosexual movement calls itself. Mm-hmm. You might not have gone down this path had you not been. You had not seen others engage in this behavior, and it sort of, did it tantalize you, titillate you? Explain how the very the growth of a perversion actually leads others into it.
Yeah. When I started seeing people struggling like I was attracted to it because this was me. You know, I looked, those are my people. And so you do sort of, that begins that process of being what I would refer to as being sucked in by keeping in mind that this whole process has been advanced by a homosexual community who really likes to see genders change, and whatever their motivation is totally beyond me because I'm not homosexual, but you do fall prey to it even if you're not homosexual. And so, and for young children, I think what happens today is the internet is so powerful. They get on there and they see these images. And I think when the window of the world goes through the eyes and into the brain, you know, it starts planting seeds in young people's heads. And then they get online and they get in groups, and it begins to foster this desire to leave their gender. And they begin, like I did, when I saw Christine Jorgensen in 1955, change genders, it was like, oh yeah, you can do it. Well, you can't. So what I'm trying to do is, you know, allow people to understand what the truth is, and it's categorically, you know, impossible.
Now, Walt, of course, with a young person, say a teenage boy or a teenage girl, they don't even have near the wisdom, they don't have the knowledge, and yet adults are encouraging these kids to pursue this so-called gender change. It's almost criminal.
It is, and we have parents today that, unfortunately, they themselves have been sort of under the spell, I guess, of thinking that, boy, if their son comes to him and says, you know, I feel like I'm a girl, they go, oh, okay, well, let's go down and get you some hormones, and let's start the process, we'll go buy you a dress, and, you know, they don't parent anymore, they don't counsel with them, nobody does any investigation into, well, why do you feel this way, what happened? What's going on? And begin to allow that child to articulate what the struggle is, and then to suggest that they really don't need to do that. I mean, you may have the feelings, and the feelings are strong, but cutting body parts off are not going to change you, nor are they going to eliminate the feelings. So, and I think that's so important, the word feelings. For all of us, change.
Yeah, we shouldn't be ruled by our feelings, and of course, the Bible has a lot to say about that. But it's the reflection of an indulgent age, and an age in which common sense is departing as seemingly as fast as immorality. Walt,
right? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're talking with Walt Heyer, and it's a privilege, and I just hope that God blesses Walt in his quest to inform as many people as possible. You can support him by going to Sex Change Regret. You can also go to TradingMySorrows.com. That's for his autobiography. Our website is AmericansForTruth.com. We've got the first half of the interview up online. We'll talk to you in a minute.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back, folks, to our interview with Walt Heyer, who is a former transgender, former transsexual man who actually had his sex organs removed. And I forgot to give the warning, but we're on late at night. But this is not really always appropriate for young people, although parents and anybody who works with youth has to get informed. Walt, and I know you are 100% with me that the most dangerous aspect of this gay, bisexual, transgender agenda is when they promote it to young people. And you're right. They're having boys take, sort of preempt their puberty, right?
Yeah, they have what they call now a doctor in Boston who's giving what hormone blockers to interrupt the normal process of testosterone flowing in a male body so that when they introduce the female hormones, they'll look much better. Now, that may be very titillating to people, but it's very destructive. And the book Paper Genders talks about some of those issues. It's a very deep subject with a lot of really critical things, and parents are actually pushing them into it.
Now this is a product of the corruption of the whole medical field, the fact that they now go along. I mean, you're a parent, you're talking to some doctor, he's got a PhD. You're thinking, well, he knows better than me, but we know that these professional organizations have become corrupted, and this transgender lobby is now very powerful, and they're lobbying even for the gender dysphoria label to be taken off this as a mental disorder, correct?
Yeah. I mean, this whole thing is, when you use the word corrupted, it's been corrupted by, homosexuals. It's been corrupted by people who want to have sex with young boys, and we see that again in Paper Genders. It explains all that. And then the guy who approved me for surgery, I didn't know it until years later. The guy was a homosexual activist, and he apparently thought it was exciting to help people change genders.
But now, what was his name again, Walt?
Dr. Paul Walker in San Francisco. He's since deceased. He died, unfortunately, from AIDS, but we did have some conversations where he apologized. I was sitting before him and said, I wasn't a candidate for surgery. He said, well, I was an alcoholic and a drug addict at the time. Now, here's a guy who was approving people for surgery in 1981 through probably the mid-80s, approving people for surgery, who admitted to me that he was an alcoholic. He was talking about himself. So you've got an alcoholic sitting before him, me, and then you have the therapist, who's the number one therapist on approving transgender surgeries at that time across the country, who is also an alcoholic and a drug addict. So, when you foster this kind of nonsense, what do we expect? And today they still do a terrible job of evaluating people for the surgery. They really do no evaluations whatsoever. They don't look for psychological disorders. And so that's why we see such a high rate of suicide, because the people don't get treatment. And cutting body parts off, I have to say, is not treatment.
Now, what percentage would you estimate of the transgender, let's just say men who want to become females, what percentage actually gets the operation versus just living, wearing dresses and trying to live as a, quote, woman?
Boy, I'm not going to go into that. That's some deep territory, because it involves, they claim some numbers, that there's around 3,500 surgeries a year. I don't know if any of the numbers are accurate, because I'm not sure that anyone really keeps track. The other thing is that many of the people who have the surgery, Peter, actually go to Thailand, because it's much, much cheaper there. So it's really hard to nail that down, but definitely is a contingent of people that I've contacted who contact me before surgery that And I suggest to them, look, if you like wearing a dress, just wear a dress, but you don't need to go through the surgery. But you do need to go get some counseling and find out why you want to wear the dress. And
right.
And don't go to a transgender specialist because they won't help you. Sorry,
well,
but that's just the facts.
Well, unfortunately, we face a movement which and we're talking the so-called gay movement and now the transgender allies of that movement. They're getting so powerful that they want to keep people from going to anybody who will not affirm homosexuality or
absolutely.
Transgenderism. And I wanted to read a page from page 40 of Paper Genders. This is the book by Walt Heyer. You can get this at sexchangeinfo.com or Sex Change Regret. Here's a letter from a guy. I think this is somebody who went through the operation.
Right.
Actually, he's got a transgender son. This is a young man, apparently. My parents are both alcoholics, and my mom has recently died. They abused us as children. I have two brothers and one older and one younger. They are cool about my transgender now that my mom has died and my dad, too, accepts the fact that I want to be a woman. I am 26, and I have been taking hormones for the last 18 months. Just after Christmas, I will have the operation. I am bisexual because I like the best of both worlds and enjoy lots of sex. You could say I'm a sexaholic. Now, that does not sound like a stable, emotionally, psychologically stable person.
Well, and this is precisely the type of, and that's why I put that in there. You can see who they're doing surgery on. This is not somebody who should have surgery. This person obviously has got a terrible childhood, has got a terrible history, and I've since talked to this person or written back and forth. I haven't talked to him email-wise, and the person's in deep depression. I continue to try to encourage him to go to the mental health clinic and get some help, but this is kind of who they do the surgery on, and then they wonder why, you know, 5, 6, 7, or 8 years later, you know, the person commits suicide. Now, the physicians and some of the other more highly educated people that go through the surgery, you know, they obviously don't commit suicide, except, you know, I think we briefly touched on the fact that there was a sports writer at the Los Angeles Times, mm-hmm. Mike Penner, who went through the gender change and became the media star for Los Angeles all over the place mm-hmm. because was changing gender, had not got the surgery yet, and lived in this female role, even with a new byline at the Los Angeles Times,
mm-hmm.
and then decided to go back to being Mike and got so much heat and scorn from the homosexual transgender community that Mike ended up committing suicide.
See, I never heard that part of it. I never heard about the scorn, and it makes perfect sense. Just like the homosexual community harasses ex-gays, people like you are enemy number one to this movement, which talks a lot about tolerance, but it's the most intolerant movement out there.
Oh, yeah. And you know what, Peter, this is so funny to me. That's why I'm laughing. They talk about they get bullied. Nobody gets bullied more than I do by the homosexual people who say, you know, you're spreading all kinds of bad stuff, and I'm going, wrong. I'm just telling you the truth. That's why I put the letters on the website. Those are facts. I don't make them up.
So you get a lot of hate, like me, you get a lot of hate mail.
Yeah.
And and you're just telling your story, and you would think that there would be, clearly people would say you have to hear the other side of something so radical as so-called sex reassignment surgery, gender reassignment, where you're actually cutting off healthy body parts. And that's what we're talking about. With the women, it just breaks my heart, Walt. I once saw young women with their healthy breasts removed.
Right.
They call them trans men now. And it's just the saddest thing. They were showing off their flat chests as if that's going to make them a man. I mean, you talk delusion. And I still say when you've got these young people, the adults are the ones to blame. And when we're talking adults, we're talking a homosexual, bisexual, transsexual movement, which is basically encouraging these young people to pursue this destructive lifestyle.
Right. And they don't really care that 41% of them are going to attempt suicide. And they have scorn for the people who return to their birth gender. And I want people to hear why I do this. And people think maybe I'm trying to get some glory out of it. I'm not. there is a quote, Edmund Burke, who was born in 1729, and his quote is just perfect for why I do what I do. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. I don't want to be one of those good men that did nothing. I'm going to speak out about this until people learn that we're doing far more destruction with these laws that the advocates are getting passed. The lawmakers are folding up their tent, and this is only a small part of our population. We have about 3.5% of our population dictating laws and social policies to 96.5% of the population, which is just total nonsense. But it's because good men are doing nothing.
Right, right. And we want to talk a little bit after the break about the connection between the so-called gay movement and the transgender movement. Actually, this goes way back, doesn't it, Wald? I mean,
Yes. You
go back to Stonewall, there was the drag queens. I mean, drag queens are elevated in the homosexual community. I mean, they're very popular. Drag queen shows have been since the inception of the movement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Walt, now, do you get out? We have a minute to go before the break. Do you get a lot of speaking opportunities? Are you out there? Do you ever get a chance to talk to schools and young people?
No, because, you know, the fact is that I am so counterculture with saying that this is not a good idea. They don't want to hear about what I have to say. They don't want to hear that it's destructive. They don't want to hear that people are going back to their birth genders. They don't want to read a letter from a physician who went through it and lived as a female for 6 years and said the surgery is a crime. So they do not want to hear that. They want to pander to the advocates who are being, you know, flooded with money to get out on the media and do their gay pride parades. Why would you have a gay pride parade and at the same time have 41% of the population that you're supporting desiring to commit suicide or attempting to commit suicide? So,
Hold it right there, Walt. We'll be right back after the break. We're talking to Walt Heyer, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. We're in the last segment of part two of an extended interview with Walt Heyer, who is a former transsexual who actually had his healthy sex organs removed in his quest to become Laura, who is a woman. He had the idea of being female in his head. That was 1983 when he had a so-called sex change, although, as he says, you cannot change your sex. He had the reassignment surgery, which is that's a terrible term, Walt. Gender reassignment surgery. It sounds so innocent and unharmful, and yet look at what it does. Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot barely even hear these operations described. It's just, horrifying.
Well, it's, you know, there was a frontal lobotomy that was so popular years ago, and I call this the new frontal lobotomy because it was destructive when they did lobotomies on people, and it took 40 years to expose how bad that was actually.
You're talking like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yeah. And so, you know, this is the new frontal lobotomy. This is the new movement that we have. And frontal lobotomy is quite appropriate, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. And how, you know, these fads, let's face it, there's educational fads, there's medical fads, there's these politically correct fads. The evidence is not in. You're saying there's a lot of regret. We're not going to have time today to read that physician's letter. We'll do it next broadcast. But you've got lots of evidence of regret. And, you know, I want to talk briefly here about, and we've got about 7 minutes left, Walt. You know, right now, California just passed a law which basically says you have to teach homosexual history. You have to encourage the idea of homosexual role models and historical figures in California schools. But it also says that you cannot have any instructional materials that reflect adversely on the gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender community. Now, that means to me, Walt, that what you're writing in your book could not be taught, or you could not put your story in front of any California student.
Right.
Because that would reflect adversely on the, quote, transgender community, which, of course, is really only one side of the debate. They're basically saying the one side has to be taught, not the Walt Heyer side. You know, we don't want to hear from any ex-transgenders, right?
Right.
Whereas these kids, at the very minimum, should be, I don't think they should be exposed to this propaganda at all, the gay, lesbian, bisexual. I mean, let them find that as adults on their own privately. But at the very minimum, you would think responsibility would suggest that they need to hear from the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they obviously they won't be putting my book in school libraries. that's pretty clear.
I wish they'd put it just in any library. In fact, that's one thing we could ask our reader, our listeners to do is get one of these books, get Paper Genders, get Trading My Sorrows, and try to donate it. Just donate it to your local library.
Yeah.
Have you heard of any library that has taken any of your books, Walt?
No, no. See, the whole thing is that people struggle so much with the truth, and that's what the homosexual community is trying to do. They're trying to muzzle the truth. Even when they pushed back on poor Mike Penner, a 25-year staff sports writer for the Los Angeles Times, ended up exhausted and committing suicide. I mean, what a tragedy that they are so heterophobic, because that's what's wrong with the homosexuals, are the most heterophobic community and so focused on homosex that they don't want anybody to be able to do anything except what they do. And they are, you know, they want to destroy the family, they want to destroy genders, they want to destroy mom and pop, they want mom and pop to be John and Jane. You know, we have surgeons who
Jane and Jane. Jane and Naomi.
Jane and Naomi, and then we've got glorified surgeons. This guy gets on all the talk shows as a hero. He's raised up as a hero.
Which guy are you talking about?
Mark Bowers, who goes by the name of Marcy Bowers, is out there cutting off Snoopies, and then if somebody complains about it, he goes, well, too bad. I've never heard anything about it. No one's ever complained to me, and I write them back and say, well, one of your patients contacted me. So there's such a denial factor.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, Walt. If it's a dumb question, just tell me so.
Sure.
Is there a lot of this people doing this operation or going into this transgender arena? Is there the factor of homosexual men who don't want to be thought of as homosexual?
Absolutely.
And so they do this, and then this sort of covers that for them?
Yeah, that is definitely part of the trade. You have that percentage. I don't know what it is, but there is definitely, I've had letters from people, guys who said that they changed because their boyfriend wanted them to become a girl so that their parents would not know that he was a homosexual. And then they departed friendships, and now the homosexual guy's coming back and go, now can I get it sewn back on? And I go, no, there's nothing you can do. So there is that element. But the larger percentage of people who opt for the surgery are heterosexual people with deep psychological issues and a very troubled childhood that never get the psychological treatment. And sadly, because the homosexual community is pushing so hard to remove any therapies or any suggestion that they need therapy, these people will never get help. We're going to continue to see the suicide rates increase and people's lives destroyed because the homosexual community just won't look at it.
Now, when you say heterosexual, here's another dumb question. You get a guy who wants to become a woman, so then she, quotes, in quotes, can date a guy. Doesn't that seem
no,
to...
The heterosexual guy who has sex change surgery and becomes a female wants to date a girl.
Okay.
That's
weird, but the whole thing is weird. So
the whole thing is weird, but the fact of the matter is their orientation still stays, because keep in mind, the guy is still a male.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have Snoopy. I don't know what else to call it, but the fact of the matter is, and that's where this gets so convoluted. The person doesn't change. So if he's a heterosexual with or without a penis, he's still a heterosexual and still going to identify sexually with the person he wants to be with as another female. So the surgery doesn't make him want to be with a male.
Right. Now, folks, you know what? I'm thinking people are some of our listeners might be like, why? Boy, this is so weird. Why are we even talking about it? Here's the reason we're talking about it. Transgenderism is now being promoted avidly in schools all across the nation. It's being promoted in popular culture. It's everywhere. You've got about 45 seconds, Walt. Talk about what you would say to somebody who asks you, what should I do with my son? You know, my son likes to dress and likes to play with Barbies and wear dresses. Give me a minute on what you would tell your son.
Yeah, you need to find a really good psychological counselor and begin to investigate, why are they asking for this? What has happened to that child to make them want to dissociate from their birth gender? There's something going on, whether they've been dressed up by a grandmother, whether they've been dressed up by a neighbor, whether, you know, something has gone on here. They maybe have been sexually molested. Maybe they've been abused. Maybe they've been traumatized. But a good psychologist who works with children, a good one, needs to dig in and find out what it is that's triggering this desire to abandon their birth gender. There's something there, and people need to begin to guide children toward that and not guide them toward changing genders. That
yes.
is not going to help them.
Right. Well, thanks, Walt, for this part. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much.
God All right.
You.
Okay. We'll be back next week with Walt Heyer, and we're here at Americans for Truth. We're trying to get this truth out because the media is silencing it. I want to remind listeners that they can support us at AmericansForTruth.org, AmericansForTruth.org. Also, set the date October 15th. That's Saturday, October 15th. We've got Dr. Erwin Lutzer from Moody Church in Chicago speaking at our banquet at Christian Liberty Academy. That's Saturday, October 15th. Please join us. Put that on your calendar. God bless you. Go out and stand for truth.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.